This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Football Friday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's John Lopez, myself, Reginald Atatula, Byron Matthews, sitting in for Figgy Fig, took the day off to do a little bit of charity work. I always knew Fig was a good guy.
He's a giver.
Just more evidence of such things, except when he's not.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Aren't we all?
That's right. That's right. And in the giving spirit, Lopez, after seeing Zoo Lights, just felt like he wanted to give to you fine folks. So on this Friday, he delivers to you a college football headline for your college football weekend.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what the headline is today? Staying alive.
Papa Roach.
You got to stay alive this week. And it's...
I'm glad that that was clean. I wanted to make sure to not step on that or anything.
Yeah, man.
But we're going to be able to cut that up and use that in the future if we need it.
Staying alive.
Okay.
Big staying alive weekend in college football. And we start, of course, between the hedges. Between the hedges, the game of the week, without question. They're going to be fighting like crazy in there, man, because both Tennessee and Georgia. Tennessee, I think they're six in the college football playoff recent rankings. If they lose, they might not fall out of the playoff. But man, that's an SEC team that probably deserved to get a little higher ranking. They were one of my picks early in the season to maybe surprise. They have been surprising. But Georgia, they were ranked number one going into the season. They have lost twice, and they lose another one, they're gone. I mean, that's going to be a huge development for Georgia. But they are at home.
Yeah, this Georgia team is. As you mentioned, it just feels weird that they're not in that place. But I think weirder yet for me is this Tennessee team that we've gotten used to over the last few years with Josh Heupel being one of those up and down offenses, spread it out and just chuck it up there, especially with the likes of Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker just letting it fly. Nico Iamaleava, close, not quite there, but you got the idea.
Right. We know who he is.
Early on, it looked like he might be able to do that. Like, you got one game in, you're like, ooh, him against Chattanooga looks fun. Mm-hmm. And then we've noticed that, okay, he's not quite that. And the offense just really isn't the explosive part. The thing that's fascinating to me about Tennessee is just they have a big boy defense, which is not something that I typically think about at Tennessee. So this one might be one of those grinded out games that you would not expect of a Tennessee game versus Georgia.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because what I was going to say is Tennessee, remarkably, they have to run the ball, and they've got a really good running back. They've got Dylan Sampson. He has to have a big game. And Georgia got exposed on the offensive line by a really good Ole Miss defensive front. Well, guess what Tennessee has? A really good defensive front.
Absolutely.
So that is going to be the game to watch, and one of them is going to have to be staying alive.
Yeah, Georgia, not a great offense. Like, it's one of those things that you kind of – it's one of the things in college football that happens a lot is that we take a brand and we sometimes don't distinguish individual years of teams from one another, and they just kind of become that brand and what we expect of them. Georgia's offense, not all that solid.
Yeah.
In fact, like, analytically, they are right next to Georgia Southern offensively, if you think about
it,
with adjusted EPA. So that's what we're talking about offensively from Georgia with a solid defense. This might be tough for them against Tennessee.
Yeah. Texas at Arkansas in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
I was like, you talking about game of the week. This is game of the week for me.
Well, to me, Tennessee, Georgia, because of what we just talked about.
Sure.
But Texas at Arkansas is definitely in the discussion. And I've been high on the Longhorns this year, which I know, I hate them, and I hope they lose the day after
Thanksgiving. Except when they were your favorite team.
Yeah, then, I'm high on how they're playing, on how they are and what they are. I think this might be a little bit of a – well, weird things happen in Arkansas, in Texas, Arkansas, and especially in Fayetteville. weird things happen. I wouldn't necessarily pick Arkansas to upset them, but it all depends on which quarterback shows up, which Talen Green, not different quarterbacks, which Talen Green shows up for the Hogs, because he's been really bad against good defenses in Ole Miss and A&M, but really good against Tennessee, which we just talked about.
Yeah, and Texas is another one of those really good defenses that they'll face off against. In some ways, I think more about the other side of this, about making sure offensively mm-hmm. that Quinn Ewers is doing, you know, not the, you know, errant kind of guy that he can be sometimes when he's hitting on the money, making those Sark plays work. Sark can draw up some ball plays. I think that'll go well.
No.
And then everybody will be all right. Everything will be all right with the world, because if there's one thing about this, like, attempted renewed rivalry, is that this one feels a lot like if you ever watch Mad Men, that moment where Don Draper and was it Pete? Me in the elevator.
I'm trying to place it because I was a big fan.
And Pete was like, I feel so bad for you or whatever. And Don is like, I don't think about you at all. Like that is how this relationship is, right? Where Arkansas just wants this rivalry so damn bad, and Texas is like, what are y'all doing? Like,
no, but weird things happen in this game.
We don't care as much about this rivalry.
Weird things happen in this game.
But yeah, it would be interesting if Arkansas went and got something done mm-hmm. in this one.
All right, Utah at Colorado, man. Don't look now. That, you know, we know Colorado is a surprise. We've talked about it.
Good team.
Their offensive line has been pretty good the last few games. And not, the offensive line has been their biggest issue since Deion got there.
Correct.
Like it for years now. But they've kind of come along and given Shedeur Sanders enough time to get things done. They've looked really good. But Utah's coming off a pretty dang good big win, big loss. They said they should have won to BYU.
On the paper,
but they played pretty well.
They felt like they won.
Yeah,
shout out to Darryl Moore.
Yeah, exactly. So, Colorado, man, staying alive if they can get this thing done at home.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Utah defensively is going to give them hell.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see what that clash looks like. A Colorado offense that fully spreads it out and lets Shedeur cook, how it goes up against a, you know, top 20 defense in Utah.
They blitz a lot.
Utah's just nothing offensively.
Nothing offensive, but they will. They're one of those teams, like they like to say, they start blitzing coming off the bus. I mean, they will blitz a lot, so it's going to be really, really
fun
good.
Fun jersey matchup, though. I will say that.
How so? I'm trying to think. Place them.
Well, I mean, it depends on what Utah is wearing. But I know, thinking back to that mm-hmm. game in the Utah rivalry where you have Utah versus BYU and you had that beautiful blue versus that red.
Yeah.
Now you take that red and you place it against the black and gold of Colorado. I think mm-hmm. that's a fun one.
Yeah.
That'll make the eye test more appealing even on a game that could get a little ugly.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of staying alive, another team that I hate but I've been kind of high on. And I don't know why I do this to myself. I guess I'm just trying to be honest. Like, I really think Texas is good. I really think Notre Dame is good. But remember last week when I said keep an eye on Georgia Tech against Miami?
You did say that.
Keep an eye on Virginia against Notre Dame. I'm not saying they're going to upset Notre Dame, but they're coming off a big win off of Pitt against Pitt, Virginia. And they have a quarterback. Kind of like the game they lost at home, by the way. This is the Notre Dame's last home game of the year, unless they host a playoff game. That run, you know, dual threat, a true dual threat quarterback. It can maybe give you some issues. And maybe this is the hatred I have for Notre Dame coming through. But Notre Dame always, when you least expect it, just lays an egg. They just lay an egg.
It does feel like that's the case. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have not watched nearly enough Notre Dame football, because you said
they're
Notre
really
Dame
good.
And my mind's eye did not come to like some thoughts about Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, 404 error, nothing here. So I might have to tap into this football game if for no other
reason. I think they're really good.
To get a feel for
still
what
hate
Notre
them,
Dame's
doing. But I think they're really good. And then one more, just because they're still hanging on by a thread. They're staying alive. So many SEC teams that still have a legitimate chance to get to the to the championship game. Missouri is one of those. Missouri still has a shot, but guess where they're going? South Carolina might be one of the hottest teams in the country right now. They've won, I think, three in a row. They beat A&M at home convincingly. Battle of the Columbias. How about that?
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Battle of the Columbias, Missouri and South Carolina. And if they don't get it done at South Carolina, well, then they're done. They will not be staying alive.
Yeah, South Carolina plays with a lot of purpose, which is a lot of credit to what Shane Beamer does there. It feels like Missouri offensively is just get the ball to Luther Burden, and even that does not feel like it has been as effective as it can be this year. I'm all in on South Carolina on this one. It feels like they've put together a little bit more belief and a little bit better of a system of what they're doing. There you go. You're staying alive weekend. I'm not doing the whole thing. In college football, the headline that you're looking at, courtesy of John Lopez in the Loop. All right, coming up next, we head into our final hour of this Football Friday, where we have to ask this question. Are we really doing this with D'Amico? Like, what seems to be the scuttlebutt or, like, the conversation out there about faith in D'Amico? Are we really doing this? We'll talk about it next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.